We're at the Quaker Meeting House, also known as Venue 40. This is a classic Fringe venue, and probably a really lovely, calm one. Probably the calmest place on the Fringe. And we're sitting here in the cafe, the vegan cafe downstairs. And we're talking to Newbury Youth Theatre about their new show. And they're going to tell me what it's called in a mo. But I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Ben.
Yeah, and what, you're in what year?
This is my second year doing Newbury Youth Theatre.
Okay, so that's Ben and...
I'm Bethany. Okay. I'm in my first year doing the Edinburgh Fringe.
Now, every year, pretty much, recent years, Newbury comes up with shows that, you know, they get the stars from the reviewers alongside all the professionals. It's not like, oh, it's quite sweet, they're young. It actually gets proper acclaim. And you're up with a really interesting show with a very intriguing title.
The title's The Wizard of Winterbourne.
So how did that get written? Was that written by you guys? Did you devise it together?
Partly, yes. So it's based off of local myths from our area in England, which is West Berkshire, where Winterbourne, Courage, Welford, Boxford, they're all in there. And the local myth of John Palmer, this wizard, our directors, Tony and Amy, found them in the West Berkshire Museum. And from there, we took the ideas from these myths and... changed them and made them into our own, really.
So did that involve sitting down and writing, or were you doing that, like, as they call it, devising in a rehearsal room?
Yeah, it was more devising in the rehearsal. We didn't actually specify our exact words. We got set tasks to do around these different myths and to come up with different scenarios and ideas, and from that our director Tony, he helped us to create a script from the stuff that we've worked on.
And how much of your ideas have made it into the final production then? I mean, the group...
Oh, quite a lot of them have, yeah. We tried to include everybody's ideas to some extent, kind of mix them all together to make one big scene.
And so in that space then, did that get written down into a script eventually?
Yes, eventually. And as devising theatre is always changing, because we were always coming up with new ideas and things are always being changed around, so too did the script. The script was always changing. And although, of course, we did eventually reach a final draft... It did take some time, because we've just had so many ideas.
Do you think there's any truth in the myths?
I'm sure there is. John Palmer was a real man, but...
Was he a real wizard?
Or was he a real wizard? Very nice. Yeah, it's disputed whether or not he was actually magic or whether or not he was just a very cunning man who duped the villagers out of their money, but you can never be sure.
A little bit more about the devising then. So... Were the characters created? You know, how did that all work? So you've obviously got the story, you've got the set, you've got the whole way it's going to be lit, you've got your roles and characters. Give me a bit more of an insight.
A lot of it was created through improvisation. We'd get into groups and then we'd do tasks. And then we'd kind of take on a different persona of someone that lived in the village of Boxford or Winterbourne or Courage. And we'd create these characters for ourselves. So we weren't given these characters. We'd become them. Just through what felt right. So we have some thieves, we have of course the wizard himself, lots of village people, we have a wizard who's not a wizard, a
you just turned to your right at Ben, I assume he's a wizard.
we all play, there's about four of us who play the wizard.
Okay.
So it's four of us play the wizard, and it's in different scenarios that we play the wizard.
So how do you create a character?
How do I create a character? That's quite a hard question.
Imagine we were in that rehearsal room, or you know, people, a bit like one of those TV shows, were able to follow you on a typical day. Are you sort of making strange noises in the street? How have you found the voice? You know, there's lots of different ways people do this. How did you?
That's quite difficult.
It's quite hard because you're quite close to it.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you think the character that you've created is more come from what people have told you or what you've made for yourself?
We make it for ourselves. It's completely up to us. We're given quite free rein. Whatever feels right in the moment. A lot of the time I will wait for someone else to say a first line, and then I will take the cue from that to become a person in the village, a character.
What about things like the voice?
The voice, that also comes through that. I will first get the idea for the character and then think about what they speak like and their stance and their views and ideas, and I will create the character around that.
And how about you, Ben?
Yeah, very similar, in fact. So we are given these sort of scenarios, say Wizard Palmer's taking... he's employed a load of churchgoers to pretend that they're possessed, which is a real thing that happens, and I play the priest in this scene. And I'm completely naive to this fact. So I tried to be as shrill and worrisome and scatterbrained as I could to really reflect the fact that I had no idea what was going on. And I, for all my, you know, worldly wisdom, I still had no idea how to handle the situation.
And in terms of then you being that character in relation to everyone else, how do you all join up as a cast?
Very naturally, I'd say, actually. We all find in each other the little relationships and little ways to work with each other that make not only the different villages stand out, but also how the villages around them view that individual person. There are people who are, you know, less intelligent in the village than perhaps others, and it's obvious to see that the others all know that, and the little intercut relationships are very natural and very organic, I'd say.
As a cast, how do you all warm up? What don't we see in the 5 minutes before you all go on stage?
We have these silly little songs that we try and we warm up our voices, we warm up our bodies, we try and warm up everything, and then maybe we'll run a few of the lines, a couple of the scenes that we're not quite sure of. Well, we are sure of them. It's just clarifying things, making sure everybody knows what they're doing.
Now, everybody learns from mistakes too. So what do you do when you come off stage? Does your director give you notes? And then what do you do with that? If your director says you could have done that better, what do you do with that?
Plenty of notes. And we really take it on board. We suggest, a lot of the time we suggest back to them or confer with each other a better alternative. So say they said that our delivery was a little bit weird with a certain line, or that the spacing was a bit strange. We try either individually or as a small group to work our way around that on the spot, and then that issue can be dropped and we can all be certain on that fact.
A lot of people these days don't even know about myths, really. They just watch loads of TV and go on their phones. What do you think is important about myths today? Do you think we should just forget them, or do they still have a role?
I think they still have a role, because your heritage, where you're from, it's very important. It's good to know where you walk, someone else has walked before. And it's good to know about what those people before you knew, and think about the history of where you're walking, where you're living, things like that.
Now, I'm going to end with one question. I'm going to give you both a chance to answer it. It's not an easy question in some ways, but what's your invitation to people here, where there's 3,800 shows at the Fringe? What's your invitation for people to come and see this show?
I think that what you'll find here is that we'll defy your expectation of a youth theatre being very tame and very... we will differentiate your perspective on how you see a youth theatre, because there's always a certain way you go into a show full of young teenagers thinking this can only be so good, they can only be such... have such... ability on stage, but I really think we can push that.
So that's a very unconfident Ben there. Well,
We all have something to bring. We're all very different, and we're less of a group and more of a family. Yeah, we're so different. We all bring different things to the table. We include music in our performance, different relationships, different ideas, and it wasn't created by somebody else. It was created by us as a group, as a family.
And Edinburgh claims to be the home of Harry Potter, but this seems like an invitation to come and meet a real wizard. So thanks for talking to Fringe Review.